You'll turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Galatians, to chapter 5. We're going to begin reading at verse 16 and read through verse 24. We're going to be talking about walking in the Spirit, trying to lead a perfect life. A minister once preached a sermon on our failures and ended up by saying, "If anyone here thinks he's perfect, please stand up." And one man slowly got to his feet, and the preacher was a little bit astonished, and he said, "Sir, do you think you're perfect?" "No, not me," said the man. "I'm standing up for my wife's first husband." Now, we believe that the Bible is the only infallible rule to guide us in our faith and in our practice. Therefore, to know God's will and God's way, we've got to listen to God's Word. Hear what the Lord may be saying to you in this portion of Holy Scripture. But I say, walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. Is that the kind of tension you have going on in your life? Walking by the Spirit on the one hand and being tugged and pulled by the desires of the flesh on the other. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are plain. I've often wondered how St. Paul knew about all these things. Fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, dissension, party spirit, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We continue our series, Let the Fire Fall. Our meditation today is entitled, Carrying the Fire. Are you a fire carrier? It says, walk by the Spirit. And in order to do that, you've got to have the Spirit. Do you carry the fire? But I say, walk by the Spirit and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. May God bless to us this reading from His Holy Word. To His name be praise and glory forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. Holy Father, now speak to us. I pray that I may fade away. My words are so inadequate, Lord, but Your Word is strong and mighty. May Your Word speak through me, and may we all hear it. For we ask it in the Savior's name. Amen. Carrying the fire. The staff here at Central Presbyterian Church meets every Monday afternoon at 1 o'clock, and we go over the calendar for the next few weeks so that every member of the staff knows what is going on, what his or her duties may be in relationship to all the various programs we have, which you see printed up in your bulletin. Those things don't just happen. It takes people who plan them, people who execute them, people who prepare the facilities for them, and so on. and we discuss together problems or difficulties that need to be resolved. Now, that's an important time for the staff each week. All of us together are working to cooperate and support one another and do the best possible job for God's people here at Central. And we feel that all of us together share a ministry. And while the jobs we have are all different, without each of us doing his or her job, the ministry would never happen. Well, that's a wonderful feeling of unity, a feeling that we are all part of a team and that every person on the team is just indispensable. And I think this congregation is blessed to have people working for it who feel that way about one another and about their work here at Central. And I think the love we share as a staff is reflected in the fact that all of the secretaries have come with their families to join Central Church and to be a part of it. From the pastors to the secretaries, right on up to the janitors and maids, we all try to serve you, and we are dependent on each other. For every person on the staff has an important role to play. Now, the reason I've told you all of this is to help you understand that the staff of this church cares about one another. And each of us feels that every other person on the staff is important too. For that reason, we celebrate the birthday of each staff person. It's our way of saying to each other, you are important. Your natal day is important because it signifies the day you were born, and we celebrate that day because you are important to us. Now, that's a wonderful thing we share together, don't you think? Every person on the church staff has his or her birthday celebrated, and somebody provides a cake for the occasion. Well, last September, when my birthday came around, after staff meeting, we went to the kitchen to celebrate my special day, and somebody had provided a cake, and the candles were burning gaily. They didn't put a candle on for each year. They said they didn't have that many candles, and they were afraid it would set off the fire alarm system anyway. So the candles were burning, and I blew out the candles and picked up the knife to cut the cake, and the candles came back on. And I blew them out again, and in a moment they all burst into flame again. And somebody had bought these trick candles that won't go out. And you blow them out, and they come back on again. Well, the fact is, those trick candles keep carrying the fire. You may blow them out, but some secret spark in the wick still burns, and in a moment, the flame leaps up again. Let me ask you, what kind of spiritual flame do you have this morning? If adversity, trouble, temptation, failure assault your soul, does your candle, your spiritual fire ever get blown out? Mine does. Somehow I can't keep my spiritual fires burning. I want to be the person God calls me to be. But somehow my old self, those things the Bible calls the desires of the flesh, get in my way and douse my light. Actually, that's a problem we all have. Even St. Paul found there was a spiritual war going on in his soul. You remember how he talked about it in the 7th chapter of Romans? He wrote, I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. Is that your experience? Do you find that you will what is right? You plan to do the right, you even want to do the right, and then end up doing the wrong thing. St. Paul added, for I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. And then he ends his confession with the cry, who will deliver me from this body of death?
body of death.
Maybe you never thought of it quite this way before, but if the fire goes out and our lives are totally controlled by the flesh, by the evil that is in us, this really is a body of death. Isn't that what the Bible teaches us? Doesn't the Bible say that the wages of sin is death? I suspect most of us are aware that we haven't done anything worthy of heaven. When we die and get to heaven and God says to us, "Why should I let you in my heaven?" A lot of us are just not going to know what in the world to say. But the fact is, St. Paul had a solution. He had an answer to his own question. He cried out, "Who shall deliver me from this body of death?" And then he goes right on to answer his own question. He said, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Savior." Do you understand what he's saying? He's saying that in spite of ourselves, in spite of our own evil inclinations, in spite of the failure of our best intentions, in spite of the fact that our flame goes out, for the Christian, there is within his heart the Holy Spirit, a divine spark within his soul. And there with that holy presence, a spark is hidden in our hearts, and suddenly the flames leap up again. Those trick candles on my birthday cake looked as though they had gone out. And yet a spark remained, and suddenly the candles flamed again. So it is with a Christian. When we have Jesus in our hearts, the winds of passion and greed and jealousy and anger and all of those bad emotions may blow out the flame burning in our hearts, but the spark never dies. Are you finding that true in your life? If not, you're in serious spiritual trouble. Our text for today says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit." Now, sometimes there come great moments when some Christian goes out in a burst of flame because of some great noble deed. Such was the case of Father Maximilian Kolbe, a Franciscan priest. Back during World War II, when the Nazi invaders of Poland had overrun his country, Father Kolbe was put in Auschwitz. On July the 30th, 1941, a prisoner escaped. The commandant did not want prisoners escaping, and so he determined to do something so dreadful that a person would not escape because of what it would do to the other people. And so he took 10 people at random. And it wasn't his intention to put them in an underground bunker and let them starve to death. One of the men selected at random was a man with a wife and children. And Father Kolbe volunteered to take his place. In the darkness and the stench of that bunker, he comforted the men as they died in slow agony from starvation. After 2 weeks, he and three others were still alive, and so they took them out and injected them with carbolic acid to finish them off. It was a terrible, awful deed, but in that terrible moment, Father Kolbe had acted out of a spirit of love and compassion. And evil did not have the last word. The flame of the human spirit, filled with the presence of God, leaped up. But such opportunities for great moments come to few of us. Instead, you and I, for the most part, are called to walk by the Spirit in much more mundane and ordinary ways. The hard, grinding ways of the little things of life, like to forgive a carping wife or to love a brutish, uncaring husband. And we're called upon to love our neighbor who curbs his dog in our yard, or the kid on the other side who backs his hot rod onto our grass and leaves a rut. Or the guest who carelessly burns a hole in the carpet with his cigarette. Or not getting angry when somebody pushes in front of us in the line at the checkout counter. Letting the flame burn means not blowing your horn in anger when somebody cuts you off, or not blowing your horn and swearing when somebody in front of you doesn't notice when the light changes. And it means accepting rudeness or selfishness and not striking back. Isn't it things like that that blow your candle out? I know it's true for me. It's maybe easier to be a Christian in great moments, but it's awfully hard day by day in the grind of life. Of course, there are big things in life that do us in, like being unfaithful to one's mate or deciding to cheat or betraying someone. But for most of us, the things that trip us up and destroy us spiritually or the little things, the grinding daily rubbing things in our daily walk. But I say to you, walk by the Spirit. What happens to us if the light stays out? It does go out. We all know that. But what if it stays out? What if the flame doesn't spring back? A British anthropologist named Colin M. Turned discovered an African tribe in a remote corner of Uganda called the Eek people. And they had some bizarre characteristics. Children were kicked out at age 3 to fend for themselves. I've had trouble kicking mine out after they're past 20. An audience of delighted and laughing people would gather to watch a little child crawling to a fire to grab a hot coal, thinking that was great sport. A village chief, with everybody's approval, sold medical supplies and let his wife die. One anthropologist saw the meaning of all of this, and he wrote, "They are a dying people simply because they have vacated their humanity." They have vacated their humanity. Yes, vacated humanity. What makes us truly human? When are we most what we're meant to be? Is it not when the flame of God's Spirit burns in our hearts? And if the flame goes out, our humanity perishes, we vacate our humanity. I suspect a lot of us this morning are walking around with our candles out because we've left our first love. Is that true in your life? Do you need to open your heart to the fire of the Holy Spirit again so that the flame leaps upon the altar once more to say, "Holy Spirit, fill me, let me walk by the Spirit"? It's hard to walk by the Spirit. It's hard to be the person God calls you to be day by day, and you can never do it on your own. You've got to carry the fire. Let me share with you a story about Malcolm Muggeridge. Malcolm is a British writer, a newspaper man, actually. And at one time, he had been a leading atheist in England. But Malcolm got converted, and it was a magnificent conversion. His writings have now led many thousands of people to Jesus Christ. And if you haven't read any of his works and you get a chance, do. Once when he was speaking in a church in England, all of the local atheists showed up. And after the service, a coffee was held and they had a chance for a question and answer session. And most of the questions had as their theme, "Why have you done this to us?" When the session was about to end, Mr. Muggeridge noticed a boy sitting down in a wheelchair trying to say something. "I'll answer one more question," said the man, and the boy struggled to get his question out, but nothing came. "Take your time," said Malcolm. "I'll not leave until I hear your question." And he walked down from the platform and
squatted down by the boy's chair and put his arm around him. And he said, take your time. And finally the boy was able to blurt out, you say there's a God who loves us. Then why me? A deep silence fell over the place. And finally Malcolm spoke, if you were fit tonight, would you have come to hear me? The boy shook his head. After a long moment, Mr. Muggeridge spoke again. Perhaps God has asked a hard thing of you, he said. But remember this. While he asks a hard thing of you, he asks an even harder thing of Jesus. And maybe this was his way of making sure you'd hear about his love and come to put your trust in him. To make sure you heard about his love and put your trust in him. And the boy nodded his head, that could be. Well, maybe those grinding, hard little things God puts in our way day by day is his way of making us realize how much we need him, how dependent we are on the fire within. I suppose we all wish life had no problems and difficulties and failures. But the fact is the winds of sin keep blowing out the candles. But when we walk by the Spirit, when we carry the spark in our heart, the spark burns and the fire leaps up once more. And then with Paul, we can cry out, thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, it's sure hard to walk by the Spirit. And those little things day by day just grind us up sometimes. And we're kind of like people with wet wood. It's sure hard to make it burn. Oh, Lord, keep your Spirit in us so that as the flames get blown out, the spark may set them afire again and the lights come on once more. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you that day by day the fire burns. Blessed be your name. Amen.